I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Psalm 47. It's in the Pew Bible on page 490, but Psalm 47. To the leader of the Korahites, a psalm. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord the Most High is awesome, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God is King over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. As we come to this particular passage and this psalm, it is a psalm of praise, a psalm that calls on us to offer praises to God with our voices and with our actions. And not just those who claim to be God's people or God's special ones, but all the people of the earth are called to recognize God as King. This particular psalm is part of a group of psalms that scholars and theologians have designated Psalms of God's Enthronement. Psalms of God's Enthronement. These psalms recognize the kingship of God and the lordship of God, not just over a small group of people, but the text says over all peoples, plural. Kind of a Hebrew way of saying things. We'd say all people. But in order to make sure you understand that it's every nation on the earth and not just a few, they use a plural form with an S. All peoples. Everyone. Sigmund Mowinckel, German theologian of years past, writes, after the exile at the New Year festival, which becomes Rosh Hashanah, at the New Year festival, Yahweh was depicted as taking his seat on the throne, where he exercised dominion over all the earth. Every year, in fact, at the New Year festival, there were several different psalms from which the leaders would read, and the people would recognize that God is sovereign, and that God was seated on His throne as King and with them for the next year. It was really a reminder of what happened later with the building of the temple and the rebuilding of the temple. The temple on the Temple Mount faced the east, so that on one day out of the year, the day of the vernal equinox, though that does not correspond with Rosh Hashanah, but the day of the vernal equinox, the sun would shine all the way through the entrance area, what we would call the vestibule or the nave, through the sanctuary, and into the Holy of Holies. Wouldn't do it the day before, wouldn't get there the day after, but only on that one day. And what it signified for the people was that God's presence was promised for them for the coming year, that God was indeed King over the earth. And the fact that it only happened that one day also said to them that God controlled the sun. The sun was not a god who could show up anytime it wanted to, wherever it wanted to. But the sun was part of God's creation, and God wasn't just King over the people. God was King over all of creation and all of the universe. And then when Rosh Hashanah comes around, the Jewish New Year, Once again, God is depicted as sitting upon the throne. This kingly language was very familiar to them at this point in time and even beyond, because they had had a king since Saul. And even when Messiah was to come, they spoke of Messiah sitting on the throne of David and ruling and reigning on behalf of God. Whereas Messiah, or the king on earth, reigned on behalf of God on earth. The understanding here is that God is the true king over all the universe. This was a very familiar thought for the Hebrews, but also for other people of the time. In the pre-exilic period, kings would go down to certain cities to be installed before the people. And as the king came up to get on the throne, he would be greeted with clapping and shouting of his kingship. And then they would bow down to show the recognition that he was indeed their ruler. This wasn't just among the Hebrews, this was among Canaanite peoples as well. And as they bowed down, their songs of praise were like prayers of praise to God. So when we proclaim God as king, how much more so is that evident? That recognition of God. And for the people at this point in time, for the psalmist and in the later period, to see God as king was not a terrifying vision. It was not a terrifying vision. The text says, clap your hands, shout with joy, sing songs of praise to God. This is a joyous occasion. The fear is not being afraid. The fear is recognizing the awesomeness of God and being happy with it. It's joyous. The people are joyful. This is also one of those psalms that sometimes is used as a pilgrimage psalm, as the people would be going toward Jerusalem for special celebrations. They would chant psalms or songs, singing them out. And this was one that was also a pilgrimage psalm, especially around the time of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, recognizing that it is God who is king and who gives them blessing, even forgiveness. Sometimes I wonder how often we are truly like these Hebrews who came joyfully to gather together for worship. How often are we truly joyful about God? How often are we truly joyful about God on Sundays? Or do we kind of drag in? How often are we joyful about God on Monday? Or we didn't get a whole lot of sleep the night before and the alarm clock goes off, and as I've said before, instead of saying, "Good morning, Lord," we say, "Good Lord, it's morning," and try and pull the covers back over. And yet, that day that is given to us and that life that is given to us by God is one which demands recognition. Joyfulness, even when sometimes we're in a joyless world. And here the psalmist calls upon the people to recognize that kingship of God. Not just what they can get out of God. I'm reading a novel by Alex Berenson called The Faithful Spy. That was passed on to me by my younger son. And it's about a guy who worked for the CIA but went undercover and infiltrated, the only American to successfully infiltrate Al-Qaeda. And really become a leader in all of that. And at one point, there is a character in there who knows this guy who is trying to get out. And she starts praying to God, and she starts trying to bargain with God. And she says, God, if you'll just do this, then I will... And then she stops. And she says, you know, prayer really is not about bargaining with God. We pray to celebrate God's majesty and our faith and to commit ourselves to God's purpose. We pray to celebrate God's majesty and our faith and to commit ourselves to God's purpose. That's what this psalm recognizes. That we offer praise and prayer to God, recognizing God's majesty, celebrating that, and not just on Sundays, or not just on Sabbath for them, but each and every day. To celebrate that and to celebrate our faith and the fact that we can have that faith and commitment with God, the King of the universe, the one who is King over all people, not just those who recognize God. The Lord is King over all. And He subdues all the people. Now, when we think of subduing, we think of that oftentimes in militaristic terms or putting someone down. But that's not all that is meant here. What is meant by the psalmist is that when He subdues all the earth and has universal dominion over it, His love and His grace and His power overcome anything that is opposed to it. Why? Because of love and grace and power. Yes, even in the Old Testament, which we often think of as being filled with wrath and hatred, there is that sense of God's grace, that sense of God's love and care for all of creation. And what overcomes and subdues is that love and grace of God. And even though many other peoples may not realize it, God's kingship is accomplished. Yahweh is the Most High God, one of the most ancient titles. The Most High God. And He's the Most High. Why? Because He has proven that He is indeed God and King. This gives His people a history. This gives His people a sense of hope. This gives God's people the opportunity to be proud and happy to have a heritage that links them to God. They're not ashamed of being linked to God. Are we ever ashamed or maybe scared to let someone know that we are God's people? The psalmist calls upon all of Israel to recognize that they have an obligation, a responsibility, not to be ashamed of God, but to offer God praise and to acknowledge Him and their relationship with Him. Not only to God, but to acknowledge it to others around them. It's kind of hard to keep people from understanding what you're saying if you are clapping and joyous and happy about it. The imagery involved here, yes, seems to be that of a warrior as he subdues people. As he ascends to great heights, he is seen and praised. God is ruler, and this is inviolable. God is invincible, and God is holy. If he goes to battle for them, he will win. He will subdue his enemies, but he subdues them not because of might misused. Or might used as a club. He subdues them by love. For he is great and exalted above all. As one writer says, therefore, that love and that greatness brings the expectation of loyalty. And anything less than full loyalty to God is no loyalty at all. Praise belongs to Him. Not because we are better because of who we are, but because He makes us better than we could be. We sometimes in the New Testament think of battle imagery. We sing songs that talk about onward Christian soldiers, and we think of battle imagery. People write books, some of them poor theology in novel form, about the end of the world, and people talk about the Battle of Armageddon. But as we said recently in our Revelation study, if you look at the book of Revelation and you talk about armies gathering and you see all of this battle imagery, remember the time in which it was written, when there were battles and wars, kind of like today, when there were questions about who was going to win, sometimes like today. And yet when that book comes to the point of winning the battle, when it comes to the point of the battle being fought, if you go and look, that battle is never fought in the book of Revelation, because the battle has already been won. The battle has been won by a prince of peace, not by a sword, by a lamb that was slain, not by a great chariot rolling over others. It is not a terrible king who wins the battle, but one who won the battle by giving the ultimate in self-sacrifice. It's not just Jesus. It is God throughout all the Bible that is constantly giving. Constantly giving. And not because God needs us or our adoration, but because God wants to share the very best of God's love and grace with us. We recognize God as Lord and sovereign over all the universe. In Christ, we who are Christians. And yet oftentimes, we don't come to life joyfully and joyously telling others. We don't come with this sense of belonging that makes us want to share, to celebrate God's majesty in Christ, to celebrate our faith. But with Christ as Lord and His loving action, which rescues us from ourselves and the world, we should be led in our lives, whether symbolically or literally, to live lives that are lives of clapping hands, lives of joyous shouts, lives of unending and inviolable grace and joy. Because the King is alive forevermore and is enthroned over us all. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the shields of the earth belong to God, and He is highly exalted. May we pray. O Lord our God, help us. Help us to not be timid, but to share Your grace and Your good news openly. Help us to not be overbearing, but to bring that grace with grace, to bring that good news with mercy, and to live our lives in joy. Help us to truly praise You as King through all of our days. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness. as we recognize that faithfulness of God to us, may we truly do so with an attitude of grace and joy, of happiness, of bubbling inside. And as we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make, a decision for Christ, a decision to become a part of this fellowship, a decision to commit ourselves anew to being faithful to the King. Hymn number 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness.